Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy.
Good morning. Good to see you, everybody. I'm Matt Thomas, for those that don't know. I get to come up and preach every now and again. I appreciate AJ giving me this opportunity to come and share with you this morning. So if you have your Bibles or if you want to see it up on the screen, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Be careful to follow every command that I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, this morning we do thank you for this opportunity to be together. Lord, we just ask for this moment that we would catch our breath. Lord, that we would focus in on you, that our hearts and minds would be clear to your leaning and to your understanding. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather as a church here in this place. Lord, we pray for our world. Lord, we pray for our communities. We pray for our families. We pray for this church. We ask that your will would be done. And Lord, that we would clearly focus in on you. We thank you for all that you do for us. In the strong and precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Have you ever been distracted? All right, try not to today. I'll try not to either, you know. But see, that's one of the good things about preaching here at Access Point is because I got light in my eyes and I can't really see you, but I know kind of what you're doing anyway. So I'm not so much distracted when I look out into the congregation. But when I was in college and I was a religion major, I actually had to take philosophy courses. And in philosophy courses, they taught you about these guys who are these deep thinkers. And so on like Tuesday and Thursday afternoon, I had to go into this class and listen to my philosophy professor teach about these guys who had these deep thoughts. And that's just not me. So I was sitting in class and you know, I'm trying to stay awake. I've had a good lunch, and it's probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and the sun is shining through, and it's warm in there. And if you sit in one of those classes about, you know, going into the second hour, you're just like some of y'all do in church. But anyway, I was sitting there, and my philosophy professor, he was going, and he was getting it, and he was just talking about some stuff, and it was deep, and I was trying to follow, and I was drinking my Dr. Pepper to stay awake, and then all of a sudden, he just stops, and he's looking out the window, and he just goes into a trance, and we're all just watching, and we're watching him. And we're thinking, oh my goodness, something really good is going to come next. And so we're there 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And this goes up to about 15 minutes of him just staring. And we're just waiting for this word that's just going to come. And it's going to be so great. And he finally just shakes his head a little bit. And he says, oh, I was watching the squirrels play. And we're like, what? You know, we've been sitting for 15 minutes watching you watch squirrels play. And so many times in our lives, we get distracted by stuff. And so, again, and I don't know if you saw on Facebook, but the title of my sermon today, let me look. So I did it right. What are you living on? And bread is not enough. And then the subtitle is, don't let the squirrels distract you. And so when I walk with my dog a lot, we're going down the path, and my dog's usually right beside me, and he just loves to be right up, and if I have anything in my hand, he's trying to get it out of my hand. But if there is a squirrel, he takes off, and he'll go running. He'll be right beside me, and he'll hear something, and he'll go, whew, and he's gone, and those squirrels love to mess with my dog because they'll see him running. As soon as they're running, they'll hit that tree, and he'll go, and he loses them. And then I think another one crawls down the tree and starts running the other direction, and he goes running after them. They hit the tree, and then the one that was up in the tree comes back down and runs them in another direction. But so many times in our lives, we get distracted by things. What are the squirrels in your life? What are those things that you think, you know, I'm going good, and all of a sudden, squirrel. And you start going in that direction. And it's like, all right, I'm going to focus in this time. You know, new year, I'm going to focus in. Things are going good, I'm going in that direction, squirrel. And you get distracted. But what God is telling us in these verses this morning, and he's using Moses to help convey these things, is that we need to remember God in all of the things that we do. We need to purposefully remember who he is. And that's what the Christian faith is all about, is purposefully remembering who God is and what God has done through us, through Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this morning, we need to understand to clear the clutter away and focus in on what really matters. Have you watched the news? Have you just been around lately? And that's one of the things I actually kind of really like my job during the past year, because I kind of live in a little bubble, and not so many things break the bubble all the time. And sometimes I have to go out, but it's been kind of nice for me in this way. But there are so many things that would draw our attention to something else besides God. And we need to clear through the clutter and focus in on who God is. So as we look at the scripture in context, we do believe that Moses was the one who inspired and wrote Deuteronomy. And so as we look at the book of Deuteronomy, there's a couple of things that are happening here in the book overall. One is that Deuteronomy is about the law, and it's also about history. So Moses is helping the people to understand what the law is and how the children of Israel will live out their history. So he's setting this all up for them. So the first couple of chapters is recounting everything that they have been through and helping them to understand why they have been through all of it, so that when we get into the later chapters and he starts prescribing the law to them, he'll help give them a basis for why they're doing what they're doing. And so as we look at this, there is always in the life of Israel a Deuteronomic principle. It simply means this: if you will obey me, I will be your God, and I will see you through. If you disobey me, then I will turn my face from you, and you're going to have to go it alone. Woo, that's kind of tight. And then that's how it was with God and the children of Israel. As long as they were focusing on him, and again, at this point, they're trying to figure out who exactly they are. And as Moses is leading them, even through this time of the wilderness wanderings, he's trying to help them to understand that they are a covenant people. And as a covenant people, God will be with them if they will stay with him. If they will worship him, if they don't get distracted by other gods and by other nations and by other things going around them. Because once they start wandering off, once they stop worshiping God and start looking to pagan gods, then God says, I'm not going to be right there with you, because I'm not going to be where sin is. I'm not going to lead you if you won't follow me. And so that's the Deuteronomic principle that we see in this book. And so they are the covenant people of God. And every time they went through things in their lives, they would either do a covenant reform or a covenant renewal. So in times of change, they would go back to the covenant. In times that they needed renewal, they would go back to the covenant. And we as Christians understand that we are also covenant people, but we are under the new covenant through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so by that new covenant, we are sealed and redeemed in Him. So He will always be with us. But we can't lose focus. We've got to stay focused in on who Jesus is and not let all the other things in life take us away from following Jesus each and every day. So as we look at this passage of Scripture and as we understand what is going on, the first thing that it says, and sorry, I can't see anymore. Okay, I'm good. I can't handle my Bible and my glasses at the same time. So as we look at this, in verse 1, it tells us to be careful. Be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. So as Moses has given us this and as we look at this, again, it's telling us to stay focused. Why are we going to be able to stay focused? Say that we may live and increase. But living is more than just breathing. Do you get me? Living is more than just breathing. You can have a body that is alive physically, but is your soul and your spirit alive? And so what He's commanding you is that you may live and increase, and the living is a life in obedience to who God is, in obedience to what God is calling us to do. So we're saying, stay close. Understand these commandments that I'm giving you today so that you may increase and that the land the Lord promised on oath to your fathers. God's got a promise for us. And the promise for us as Christians comes through Jesus Christ, that we are heirs to the kingdom of God. We just need to stay focused on who God is. And so as we stay focused, we understand that we are living in the legacy and that we are also leaving a legacy for those who come behind us. Verse 2, it says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in those deserts these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. And so as we look at this, we need to remember with a purpose. So God's saying, look, I led you through all of this. You went through all of these things for a purpose. Are you going through stuff today? Do you know that the stuff that you're going through is actually for a purpose? It's just not so that you can get through it. It's so that you can learn from it. And so as we learn what we are going through, it helps us to know that God is always with us. So even in this wilderness, this desert that they had went through 40 years, they were humbled. And God was going to test them, but it wasn't a test to see if they would fail. And so many times in our life, we think we're going through things so that people will say, oh, you failed. You failed. And that's one of the biggest fears in my life. I'll just be honest with you. One of my biggest fears in life is failing. Because it's happened before. And I hated it. And so I don't want to fail. I'm scared to fail. And so sometimes it paralyzes me to try. But then I get over it. And I said, all right, Lord, if you're calling me to do this, then I'm just going to go full force. And if I fail, then I'm must going to be learning something through it. But if you don't try, you're probably not going to fail. But also, it's a test. So what God is leading us in giving this test is for us to learn and to grow. Even if we fail, did you learn something? And did you grow? Then it's not a failure. Oh, but, you know, I could have done so much better. You could have. Did you learn? Did you grow? Can you do more? Can you do better? Can you follow? And then the Lord presents that to us and opens that up for us in that way. So as I was doing the study in this, and I will give credit to whoever wrote it, but I didn't write that down, so I don't remember. But this quote came in my studies, and it says, remembering does not always include the profitable and the pleasurable. The most bitter and difficult experiences often produce the most productive memories. And so what happens in our lives is that we only want to remember the good stuff. But as we look back and remember some of the hard points in our lives, we can see that's where we grew the most, where the Lord was leading us, where the Lord was helping us to get through those things that would lead us to further growth in Him. And so as we look at this, it will also understand that we are humbled before the Lord. And I don't like being humbled. I like for people to say, oh, you did a great job, and you know, you're good at this. And then when things don't happen a certain way, again, that whole failure thing, to be humbled is hard. But it doesn't always have to be that way. Sometimes being humbled is a great thing. I got a call last week from a guy in Georgia. And he said, Mr. Thomas. And I said, yes. He said, this is so-and-so. And I was kind of prepared for this call because the head of the funeral home had called me before. So I know what this call was going to be about. And so he said, you know, you knew my mother-in-law. She has passed away. And I think you're the guy. And this is how it went. I think you're the guy that she wanted to do the funeral. Because 20 years ago, there was a youth director that she really loved at this church. Are you him? I was like, I believe I am. Now, you also got to know, in my life, I try to get out of funerals. You know, marriages and funerals, I try to get away from them, you know, because they're both about, well, I'm not going to say they're about even. But anyway, they are tough. They are tough, actually, on a minister. Both ways, you know. All right. So that was terrible. But anyway, so I knew that when this gentleman asked me that I wasn't going to even try to get out of it. And maybe that's some growth in my life. I'm not sure. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But I was humbled to ask, to be asked. And when I started the service on Friday at that graveside for this 92-year-old woman, I was humbled that the Lord had put me in her life 20 years ago and that I had made a little bit of a difference. So at this point in her life and ministering to her family, I was able to be a part of that. I didn't know why. I just enjoyed their presence 20 years ago when I sit down and talk with this couple. But it was something that it would help me, and to be humbled helps you to refocus on what God is calling you to do. It gives you perspective on God's will. And again, it's not to see if you will fail, but to help you grow. And more importantly, to know what's in your heart. Sometimes what's in this old heart of mine is not always great. But when God humbles me, when God tests me, it helps me to see that some of those things that are in my heart need to get out. And that the love of Christ and who He is needs to be there so much more to push that junk out of my heart. And so the Lord has led us in certain ways through certain trials and things that have happened in our lives so that we would understand that our hearts need to belong to Jesus. And so as we look at verse 3, He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So our humbleness actually led to hunger, and so that we had to rely on the Lord for everything that we get, for our sustenance. But it helps us to reposition for better results. Again, when you're humbled, usually what happens, and back in those days, you were forced to be humble sometimes, and what would happen is you would have to hit your knees. And I believe in our lives too, when we hit our knees before the Lord, it helps to reposition our direction in our life so that we can follow God more closely. And so it says, Moses says, and you gave us this manna, you gave us this bread from heaven. We weren't expecting it. We didn't even know what it was. Before that point, we had never seen it before. And manna, it's a great word. You know what it actually means? Manna means, what is it? And so as this bread came down from heaven each day on their wilderness wanderings, it would come down, and the first time it came down from heaven and it formed, they said, what is it? Because they didn't know. But they knew that God was providing it, and he laid down how they were to collect it. Don't get too much. Eat what you can. Don't store all of it away. For right now, I need you to rely on me every day. If you try to start storing it up too much just for yourself, it's going to rot. But if you follow my commands and you take in what I give you each and every day, I will sustain you. I will give you exactly what you need. And so take it as it came, and they were with God every day. But as this verse also says, it says to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so last week, we had an internship recruitment weekend at Camp Cale, and we brought some people in, and I'm hoping that the guy who came and spoke to us on Sunday morning is going to be my program director coming up in the next month or two. But he came in and he said, I want to share with you Matthew 4:4. And I was like, uh-oh, he's going to hit me upside the head with something. And so he did. So Matthew 4:4, I kind of took it 4:4, but 4:4, Jesus is being tempted in the desert. How many days? 40 days in the desert. How many years were they in the wilderness? 40 years. So you got some parallels there. And Satan comes to him and he says, if you are who you say you are, then turn these stones to bread. And what does Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. And so he's looking back at these verses. And so what it helps us to understand, and even in your life, what are you striving for today? What are you trying to get? What are the things that are distracting you and that you think you need? My challenge would be, and I believe the word's challenge, would be to you, for you to refocus and understand that we need to be here. We need to understand what God's word is for us, what his spirit is teaching us through his holy scripture. Because then at this point, they don't really have the scripture like we have it. But Jesus is reaffirming that this is what we need. We need what God has given us through his word, what has been written down. So again, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so what we need to understand is that we take this even a little bit further, and we stay in verse 3 for just a moment, to understand that what is the word? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So who was that word? Jesus. John chapter 1 says that Jesus is the Word. So what are we living by? Not bread alone, but by the Word, who is Jesus. That's good stuff. You don't even have to say amen. Keith was supposed to hit me with that about right there. All right, thanks. All right. But Jesus is the Word. But as we continue on back, and we see further in John, guess what Jesus is also? Jesus says, after he had fed the 5,000 and the people are all around and they were saying, what miracle can you show us? Moses gave us bread from heaven. And Jesus said, no, he didn't. God gave it. And what I need you to understand now, Jesus said to them, is that I am the bread from heaven. So what is Jesus? Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the bread from heaven. And so he will help us to get through the things that we are going through if we follow him each and every day. And so as we look at this, And as we understand that, then we go a little bit further. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. I am rough on clothes. You know, I don't have many clothes unless I wear them like, you know, I have suits that are old, okay, because I wear them like once a week or once a month, okay? I got other stuff that I wear slam out. My shoes don't last me but about 4 or 5 months because I walk funny, all right? And I'm kind of a big man, so I just wore them out, all right? But now it's saying your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell for these 40 years. What it's saying is that whatever you're going through, I will equip you to do it. Now, it may not be physical clothes, but if you take on the armor of God, it's not going to wear out. If your feet are fitted with the gospel, it's not going to wear out. So physical things may go away. Physical things may wear slam out. But the spiritual aspects of who God is and how He is equipping you is going to stay strong. It's not going to wear out. And then verse 5 says, to know in your hearts that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. And so as we look at this, I don't like to be disciplined. Again, I've kind of said that before. You know, through this sermon, I don't like to be humbled. I don't like to fail. I don't like to be disciplined. Guess what God does to me? He tests me. He humbles me. And He disciplines me. Why? Because of all those things that I don't think I like, He does it for my good. To help me to understand that I'm not who I need to be. But every day, as I walk with Him, I'm growing closer and closer. Will I ever hit it here on this earth? No. And that's one of the things that I struggle with. And one of the key terms that I kind of use in my life is righteousness. And I know that I can't be righteous. But I know that God sees me as righteous through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I can't do it on my own. But God disciplines me in this way so that I know that I need to lean on Him. I need to know who He is, and I need to follow Him each and every day. So what's the squirrels in your life? Are you focused in on who God is? Are you connected to God? Because that's what God wants to do through His discipline, is to connect His heart with your heart to help get rid of the stuff that is blocking you from understanding who He is. The discipline is to get us to the other side, to know that one day when we see Him face to face and He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And we do that because of His discipline in our life. And the last thing, and I'll leave you with this. Don't forget that Jesus loves you. And as we look at this passage of Scripture and the things that we heard, we know that God is for us. God is there to sustain us. And we say, but Lord, You're putting me through these things. Well, what have we done to ourselves? But more importantly than that, how is God seeing us through this? Because God loves you and wants to have a personal relationship with you. Man does not live by bread alone. Man doesn't live just by the things of this world, but by the true bread of life, who is Jesus, and by His Word, and He is the Word. Let us pray.
Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.